It's the Walmart brand, so maybe it is. Maybe I'm drinking
poison Chinese water.
Sam Walton's piss. His name was Sam, right?
I guess. Fucking.
Anyway. New episode. What episode is this? 433. Interesting.
Is it?
Yes. You know what I've been watching?
What?
The last week I watched the 2000 Dune TV miniseries on Sci-Fi.
It's actually not bad.
It is actually very good.
It is.
If you watched it back then, the special effects would have been okay.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, because they tried to make it 4K or whatever.
It's like a bad Star Trek episode.
Now it looks bad, but like the acting ain't half bad.
Well, fucking James McAvoy's in it.
Yeah. He's in the second one. They did a sequel, right, which I'm on now.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Have you gotten to the part where he turns into a sandworm?
Not yet. I've watched the first two, but I know that's coming.
Dude.
The Follow the Golden Path, Father.
He's
what a great name for the Golden Path.
It's fucking.
The lesson is
he starts getting like putting sand trout on him, and it gives him superhuman strength and speed and all kinds of shit. It's really fucking weird.
To me, am I right? The lesson of the story of Dune is beware of charismatic leaders like Paul Atreides.
Yes,
and because they won't go far enough. Because the idea of the Golden Path is we need to oppress them for thousands of years while being led by a sandworm.
They'll thank us for the oppression.
Yes.
Because civilization depends on oppression.
Yeah, because then if we oppress them for thousands of years, they will finally have the guts to rise up and overthrow me. And they will, and then,
well,
that seems like the story, right?
Dude, it's so fucking subjective.
You keep telling me you can't get past the third one, and I'm like, I get it, because
when Leto the second,
yeah,
and his
James
sister,
McAvoy,
yeah, and his sister,
who was always good. This kid was really good in his.
He's actually way too old to be playing that role.
That's true.
And Ghanima, which is his sister, I think it's his sister. I think Ghanima is his sister, but actually. The girl who's in utero right now in Dune 2, it becomes a villain.
Yeah.
Why? Why fucking do that? It's because Vladimir Harkonnen possesses her body.
Because that's her grandfather.
Exactly. I can see it. But then the thing with Leto becoming such a fucking tyrant that he just at some point lashes out and kills one of the Duncan Idaho Golas. For no apparent fucking reason. Just kills him. I mean, it's fucking dumb. I mean, it's just like, why make something of such bleak? It's bleak as fuck. That's what people don't seem to realize about when we saw those movies. Those movies are fucking amazing, but it's the part of the story that isn't bleak. And then when it gets bleak,
in the third one, it's going to get bleak.
Well, that's what I'm saying. At the end of the second one, it got bleak.
Sure did.
Because when they're getting to those fucking ships, people who knew Dune, like, don't cheer that.
They're going to kill trillions.
Don't cheer that, because that's getting ready to go bad. Yeah. Real bad. Real fast. So
they marauded across the galaxy.
And Stilgar is one of the worst.
Oh, yeah.
He turns into this absolute
fucking zealot.
He's not a sycophant. He's just a zealot. Stilgar doesn't have him to be a sycophant. He cannot be a sycophant.
I think I got my words confused.
No, you were correct to think that he bows down to Paul. He does in a way, but it's more zealotry. He's just such a zealot because he thinks that. And that was implanted by the Bene Gesserit. They're so fucking evil, it's unreal. They're just evil fucking people. It's an evil order. It is a fucking political and eugenics order posing as a fucking religious order.
Yeah.
What could be more fucking evil?
It's pretty evil.
Yeah.
There's like in Westeros, there's a little bit of hope.
Well, you know what I mean? And there's
Jon Snow's still laying dead in a cell at Castle fucking Black.
Yeah, but
we know that they're going to bring him back. Melisandre's got the goods. We know it.
She's got the goods.
She's got the bona fides. She's got the stuff. She's going to bring him back. Now, when he comes back, what's he going to be? I think he's going to be one of these fire whites, sort of like
Beric
Dondarrion.
Maybe, but I don't know. Because
a lot of people think.
Because there's no guarantee that she's going to be one that brings him back. She wasn't really the one who brought him back.
Could be the others that bring him back.
No, it wasn't either. It was the fact that his body had shifted into Ghost. And then they worked on his body. And then he got. See, I don't know if there's more. If that's more warg magic that's just old from the first man and then, you know, being linked to the Children of the Forest.
The problem in the show when he came back is he didn't really change. He was still
they just used it as a convenient excuse so that he didn't have to obey his vows anymore.
Yeah, I've already died. There we go.
Right. I think they're going to do that in the book
a little bit, yeah.
But I think that book's coming out fairly soon.
I think so too.
I really feel it.
Like in the next 10, 15 years.
I think within the next two, it'll be out.
We'll be 65 years old on this show.
You know what? I won't give a fuck.
Yeah, he did good.
Yeah.
He did the first Duncan.
I'm waiting to see what happens with John. I want to see more what happens with the fucking Northerners marching on Winterfell. Big Bucket Wall and all those motherfuckers getting ready to die and happily doing so.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, that part was so inspiring, even though I know where it's going to end up with. The thing with him burning his daughter, that's going to happen. He's going to do that. So
that's going to happen.
They've already foreshadowed in the book. You know that.
Yes.
So
this bitch keeps trying to burn everybody.
Yeah, exactly. So she has King's blood. So there you go. But I can't wait to see what happens.
Who wrote the pink letter?
Somebody thinks it's a Meister. Somebody thinks it's Melisandre himself. Somebody thinks it's... There are so many theories going around.
It could be Melisandre because she does want him to march on Winterfell.
Right.
But now he's dead. And now he can march on Winterfell because he's fulfilled his duties.
Yeah, but she can't have foreseen that. She foresees things, but she doesn't really. I mean, she does, but she's always getting it wrong. Am I wrong?
She gets it...
Fuck Big Lebowski.
She gets some of it right. It's just the wrong person.
Well, she says it herself. She's like, I'm merely the interpreter. It's shown me something. I make mistakes in what's being shown, but that doesn't mean it's not the truth. It means it's just a perspective. It's the old Marcus Aurelius statement. There is no truth. There is only perspective. Hmm. So I can't wait. Like, I'm after seeing Avatar, though, there's so much to talk about.
Avatar.
So many things have happened. I watched Avatar again, right? I liked it this time. It was still not a good movie. But we've got a whole Disney trip to get into here.
Oh.
And it's fucking, you know. And one of the things about it was I rode the Avatar ride. I stood in line for 2.5 hours to ride the Avatar ride. That lasted 4 minutes.
I would have killed myself.
It was
I would have killed myself and everyone around me.
It was brutal.
I would have screamed Allahu Akbar.
It was brutal, dude. It was brutal. You'd go up to, every time you went into another room, you'd think it's the last room, and then it would route you into another room. And they'd have shit like science shit and like an Avatar body floating in a fucking... It was cool stuff. But I'm sitting there, this is just misdirection, guys. So we don't think about how long we're going to be in fucking line. So let's just... To begin the show, are we going to do the theme?
Well, sure.
Let's do the theme.
Let's do the theme. Hold on. Let me pull the theme up. Let me find the fucking theme. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm. Nope, that's not it. There it is, and boom.
Take a sip of this. It's like the fifth cafe drink I've had today.
Nice.
Well, coffee.
This is my third Monster. I was out till 11 last night. I had to get up at 5.
Jesus Christ, man. That's illegal.
I was mixing a song.
Oh. Okay, I see. I thought work had kept you out till
11. No.
No, fuck you.
I don't even stay till 4.
Eat a dick. I'm not staying.
Most of the time I'm out by 4:15-ish. I'm not. They know. They know the deal.
They know old dad can't stay.
I'm scheduled till 8 till 4:30. I'm like, we're not doing that.
You need me here early. 8 in the gate, son. 8 in the gate.
I've always just kind of made my own schedule. Because I've always worked by myself. I don't really. And they were just like, whenever, dude. Mm-hmm. Just as long as you get the stuff done.
That's awesome.
Nobody cares. I'm like, sweet.
Yeah.
Don't give me that leash. I'm not going to leave it like one or anything. Right. Sometimes I will, but not I'll often. Let the world know that that's happening.
Right.
But like, I'm like, you know, shit's fucked and busy. You guys can count on me to stay if you ask. If you don't ask, I don't know that things are fucked and busy.
Yeah, sure.
I'm in my own world over here. You know what I mean? All right.
Just running the forklift.
Yeah, I'm forklifting. I'm
forking.
I'm not doing that as much anymore.
You're forking it up.
They've given me so much more responsibility. And the good part about that is no more pay.
Neat.
It's great. We're having a good time. We're having fun.
Okay.
I have to give PowerPoint presentations.
Oh, God. Do you have to pass out TPS reports?
No. I had to learn how to use Excel and PowerPoint.
I can imagine you standing in front of the PowerPoint. All right. This bullshit here. I'm fucking.
I've only done one of them. I'm very good at it. I'm very.
Are funny. You enthusiastic?
No,
no.
But I'm funny. All right. And I do a little
shucking and jiving.
One of the salesmen, like, we had to put rubber on our pipe racks, mm-hmm. where we hold stainless, because stainless is not supposed to touch any other types of metal because it can contaminate it.
Sure. Yeah.
And I was like, we put the rubber on the racks, and he's like, so it sort of acts like a prophylactic. I'm like, yes, of course it acts like a prophylactic between the stainless and the carbon steel. So sort of like a condom. You could call it a condom. Like I do the bit with him. I know where he's going.
Right.
I've been working with him for 5 years. Right. I know what's up.
He's your straight man.
Yeah. No, I'm the straight man in this one. He's
okay,
getting the
okay, he's getting the laughs. Okay.
It all depends on me going with it. Right. You know? It all depends on me.
Going to be a good show.
Yeah.
Okay. As you know, I went to Disney the 7th through the 10th.
I've heard tell. Can't imagine. I would be so miserable.
It was fun, but let me, it was fun. It was misery punctuated by fun. Not misery because I love the company. You know, I love being with my family and everything, but, okay, here's the thing. It was a lot of adventure because I flew for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever flown?
That? Absolutely not.
Okay. It's no big deal. You get on a plane in Clarksburg. It takes off. You're an hour and a half in. You're not even an hour and a half in the air. You're the process takes an hour and a half.
So you got to direct down to Orlando?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. And then Sanford, Orlando. And that was about an hour drive to.
Did you stay in the sister city in Sun? Thank you.
I didn't catch that before.
Yeah. If you'll excuse me. Oh, it's just playing. It just keeps playing.
We're pros.
I didn't know if I didn't hit stop. It just kept playing.
That's crazy.
Just on a loop.
A loop. So that was awesome. I mean, I don't want to travel any other way.
You heard about them direct flights down to Myrtle Beach out of Charleston?
No. It's like an hour.
Yeah, it's like $80.
Yeah. But the bad part about that is you're driving to Myrtle Beach. Fucking shithole.
Hold on. Folks.
Yowza.
Folks. Anyway, how you guys doing tonight?
Oh, you're from Myrtle Beach. Sorry.
What a good looking couple. Oh, not you. Yeah. Not you.
Nice tits.
sir. I think I could do crowd work.
Yeah, I think you could.
I've actually thought about it. I have a very good line because I've said this to people to their face before. You look like you have an oddly specific knowledge. You look like you have an oddly specific knowledge of all of the ages of consent for all the different states.
It's pretty fucking good.
The problem is not laughing in the middle of it because you know it's just going to hit.
Oh, absolutely. You got to drop that deadpan.
Mm-hmm.
You got to roll right into that one. Stride into it. So there's that. Then, you know, we rented a car and it's fun. And then we stayed though.
What was the food like on the airplane? Airplane food, folks. We're getting into it. We're doing it.
I mean, can I get some more peanuts?
I mean, what's the deal with the peanuts? Are they honey?
I mean,
are they roasted?
Do I have to have
honey roasted peanuts?
Do I have to have the small bottles of liquor? I mean, hey.
Push up my sleeves on my blazer. Just get real Seinfeld.
Straighten my tie. Then go like this when you're not getting laughs. I love that on this.
Is this thing on?
On The Simpsons, the guy said they had a bad fucking Evening at the Improv comedian. Should, you know, I think about weird things. Like, what if Mr. T and E.T. had a baby? I pity the food on phone home. And everybody's laughing. He's going like this. Real smarmy look on his face. You can tell Conan O'Brien wrote that fucking joke. Anywho.
Yeah. Yeah, you remember all the times where someone was brutally murdered in a skit on Conan O'Brien? What? They would just shoot people accidentally. Oh, God.
I just like the fucking...
Anyway, your trip
the racist crooner. Yeah. Anyway, and we stayed in the park. We stayed at a place called Pop Century, which was a cool little place, like, because it had all the stuff from the different eras, like the 70s and 80s. It was neat, and they played really cool music. They really did. They whoever was on that fucking DJ table really knew their shit, you know, not DJ table. But the food, I'm not going to say it was bad. It wasn't bad. In the hotel, it was bad.
Cafeteria-esque?
Yes. Mm. Everything came from Disney's kitchen, so it all smelled the same. If it had flour in it, it was going to smell like Disney food. And every Disney place had a Disney smell. Like it was, and it's not an unpleasant smell, but it's just overriding. Like it's like, I don't know, it's because it's sitting on a swamp, and they need to try to kill the smell of things, and they try to put it out. That didn't occur to me until just now. We went to Magic Kingdom, 16 hours of the Magic Kingdom.
In one day.
In one day.
Sweet Jesus.
Because the baby, they took the baby
back.
My
God.
And Amanda stayed for 16 hours. We did everything. Like, and it was like very, very, like systematic. Like, all right, we've done this. We've done this. We got to go do this. You know, and that's.
Did we ride the teacups?
We did not, but we did ride.
Did you ride? Whoa! Space Mountain Daddy!
I did.
Yes.
And I was terrified at first. And then I got into it. I have a fear of roller coaster because I'm afraid I'm going to have a panic attack. But after being on the plane and not having a panic attack, mm-hmm. not even being close, mm-hmm. it got dialed down to nothing. Like, I got on the roller coaster. I'm like, I'm even sitting on Space Mountain. It's whipping around. It's fast, man. It's a fast roller coaster. And, like, this is not a big deal at all. You know?
My first actual roller coaster besides the little... Or the Big Dipper at Camden Park mm-hmm. was Son of the Beast at Kings Island.
Jesus fucking Christ. You talk about jumping up and fucking.
Oh my
That thing
God.
Beats you to fucking
it's
death.
It's a large wooden roller coaster.
It's one of the largest wooden roller coasters.
At the time, it was the largest wooden roller coaster.
Yeah.
And it does a loop. And I was giant at the time. And the guard only went to the very edge of my knees. And I was like, hey, this, am I too, fat for this? And he's like, no, you're good, dude.
Okay.
Cool. I felt like I was in a car crash afterwards because I was holding on for dear life. Yeah. When we went upside down, I thought I was going to fall out.
Yeah.
And I've never been on a roller coaster.
Well, since. It wasn't going to happen because it's centrifugal force, but
I didn't. I'm not a math guy.
Well, I mean, but it just.
It's going so fast that I know.
I'm, right.
Yeah. But I didn't know that at the time.
And nobody does, really. I mean, but you. You when you're a kid, you don't understand those things or whatever. But
I was 26.
Okay, 26. When you're 26, you don't understand those kind of things. No, but I think I could actually go to an amusement park now and ride the rides and be okay with it, you know, because it was fun. We rode Space Mountain.
State Fair?
Sure. Let's do it. But we rode Space Mountain. We rode the new one called Avalanche, which was way worse than Space Mountain. It was fun. It drops you back fucking backwards, like down a fucking hill. I mean, it was nuts. And I had the best time. I was laughing, you know, having the best time. The Seven Dwarfs Mine Ride was really fucking cool. I mean, you're looping through shit. Disney, if nothing else, their rides are just absolute works of brilliance. And here's what I'll say. I love amusement parks, not because of the miserable-ass people or any of that shit. There's so many miserable fucks in an amusement park. Not us. We had a lovely time. We're having fun. Our feet hurt and all that shit, but we're still having fun. That's just the way it works. But there's
ibuprofen's for.
Sure. And we took plenty of it. I took two Aleve. Knocked that shit right out.
Okay. We're going to get into that. Yeah. I get the feeling there's a rant coming. Hold on a second.
There's no rant coming, but
I'm going to use my soundboard in my PowerPoint presentations.
Nice.
I'm going to be like, welcome, guys.
Jerk off to it.
You're doing it wrong.
Just stuff.
I didn't take any. I was in withdrawal. So
you were itching and
Feenan.
Well, not really. It wasn't that bad. I mean, because I tapered down so much that that it just didn't bother me. It bothered me some, like not having as much energy and all those things. You know, it's just a thing, but it was fine. But the thing that got me about that park is the sheer fucking ambition. The ambition of the place. It is just an engineering marvel. It really is. You have, you know, in the older parts of the park, Tomorrowland, you had a people mover that was like an early monorail, which, and then they build a monorail that goes to Epcot Center. Then they've got a skyline that takes you around the park and you can go ride it. And it's Main Street USA with all these buildings. And, you know,
since they own the Simpsons now, is there like Simpsons stuff there?
No, that would be in another part of the park. We only went to Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom was really cool too, because we went to, they have actual, it's a zoo, and they take you on a safari, like in a truck, you know, and you get to get close and personal with rhinos and giraffes and fucking, you know, they can't get at you. Not really. I mean, they probably could, but they're not going to be aggressive towards that. It was a lot of fun. Like, it was all the cool rides, like the classic stuff. The Pirates of the Caribbean is such a fun ride. I mean, even though it's been altered to now include Johnny Depp, Jack Sparrow, he was a character in the original ride, but now he's in the ride. Like, they've installed him as Johnny Depp's face, like, in things, like poking out of things.
Johnny Depp?
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
Because he was a character in the movies.
Never heard of it. I've actually never seen the movies. I'm surprised they kept him because of all the controversy.
Well, he was innocent.
Of the pooping in the bed.
Right.
Yeah, he's still a dickhead.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a dickhead. Of course he's a... Yeah. You look like that.
Yeah, he's a dickhead. It's just so much fun. It's so... With all the animatronics and stuff, it's just really cool. Like, we went on this old... One of the first things that Walt Disney did is called... The Wheel of Progress. And it just takes you through the turn of the last century, through the 1940s, into like the modern era. And they had to update some things, but it was still, you know, not, they had kept it pretty much as is. It smelled like the 60s. You go and sit down, you can tell people smoked in there and everything. And, you know, they try to clean it, but it's not coming out.
Is there anything that might be considered problematic in it by today's standards?
There is not. Like,
they clean that up.
But there were. We went to the Magical Tiki Birds. Speaking of that, one of the Tiki Birds was apparently Mexican. And then you had one that's French, and you have one that's Irish, and they could not be worse stereotypes. The lead Tiki Bird is Mexican, and he kept referring to things as a chower and things like that. Mm-hmm. It was fucking terrible. We're like, is this problematic? Like, yeah, I think it is. You know, it's like, I remember going on it when I was a little kid, and it is the goofy. It's just animatronics, you know, a show with animatronics and stuff. It's been there since early 1970s. Pirates of the Caribbean has been there for decades. You know, there's no problematic stuff in that because there's, you know, it's pirates. You know, nothing. Yeah, nothing
that's problematic in and of itself.
Of course, nothing you really have to change. There is a lot of walking. I will say that it's almost like the misery is a part of the fun. If that makes any sense.
Well, it's called future fun. You're miserable. You remember football practice and.
Oh, sure, and you remember it very fondly.
Sucks. Yeah. And then, like, 15 years all over later, you and your buddies are sitting around. You
remember that day when we had to go 4-day practices?
You remember fucking having to run suicides because this dickhead couldn't fucking do a grass drill? Couldn't do a grass drill.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, it's, it was... The Avatar thing, like, in Animal Kingdom, there was a Pandora part of the park, which was cool.
And they had Avatar. They've made Avatar animals.
No, they had the River Navi or the river, whatever it is.
I've never seen this movie.
Well, you know, they're like 12 foot tall.
Is people. Susan Sarandon in it?
No, Sigourney Weaver.
You know what Susan Sarandon's in?
What?
Children of Dune on Sci-Fi.
Is she? Her big honkers hanging out probably.
Big honk. Love Susan Sarandon.
Oh yeah, her honkers is probably still pretty good.
Guarantee it.
Yeah.
Little double S with them double D's. Yeah.
They're way beyond double D's, sir. It was like you, and it was a Pirates of the Caribbean esque ride where you just go down this path and like the Navi are doing their stuff and they're like looking at you and talking. And it's animatronics. And then the ride where you're riding on the back of one of those animals. And it's like one of those things where you give you glasses and it's just so real. And it, you loop and stuff and your brain gets completely confused. It was awesome, man. I loved the 3 days we spent there. We only spent 2 days in the park. The seventh, we just got there, took Maddie swimming, you know, did all that kind of stuff, went and ate.
Weather in Florida, like 75, 80 the whole time.
Oh, shit, man. At one point, it was fucking oppressive. I was like, this is March. How the fuck do these people live here? You know?
I would love it.
No.
Just out flinging Frisbees every day, baby? Oh,
fuck, dude. No, I mean, I can handle heat as long as I don't have to do the goddamn swamp fucking... Yeah. In the evenings were beautiful though. Like, oh, yeah. I mean, it's just there's like
probably a thunderstorm every evening, and it's great.
It would cloud up some and really be nice. Me and we missed one of the storms right before the fireworks because we went in to see this thing, which was like nobody was at some of these things. You know, they're like people aren't. This was spring break, so people were going to rides. You know, they weren't going to shows and things like that. But we went to this thing where you put on glasses. There were a couple of these things. And it was like Donald Duck was supposed to give Mickey his hat and they were going to do a symphony thing. And then he got dragged through. He fucked up, of course, and he got dragged through all the Disney movies and they're singing, doing all the songs. He's trying to get the hat back the whole fucking time. It was really cool, man, because it's like 3D and they're coming out at
you. So they're saving all their good stuff for the park and putting out trash in the theaters. Got it.
Basically, yes. I would definitely, we all said we wouldn't go back. I would go back. I would have fun. You know, I mean, because it is, like you said, future fun. Now that I'm home, it is so much better. Like, you know, it's you have, it was a lot of fun. We ate some Dole Whip, which I'd never had before. Have you ever had these things? It's like ice cream, but it's fruity, and it's almost like sherbet, but it's not. It was so fucking good. We're sitting there eating it like trading spoons, like, oh my God. It had berries and shit in it. Got it near the castle.
Dole Whip. Okay. I'm looking up Dole Whip.
I don't know if we can get it around here. I don't know if.
Buddy, I have a guy.
I've got a Dole Whip guy. So there's.
Buddy.
Do they have it?
I mean, is it made by Dole?
Yes.
You can get it on Amazon.
Nice.
Soft serve mix.
I think you have to have a soft serve machine, though.
Probably do. Don't let that stop.
I think that they have Dole Whip at Drennan.
Smoothie bowl, Dole pomegranate strawberry Walmart.
Nice, but I do think they have Dole Whip at Drennan.
Drennan,
the Drennan Perry bar.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure they do.
Fuck, I can't wait for that place to open. God damn, they have one of the best calibrated fucking soft serve machines. Soft serve that's too fucking aerated is garbage. Soft serve is real.
You know, dense. We disagree on a lot of things.
That's something we agree on.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, it's like
I'd go to war. Over
Dairy Queen's fucking soft serve is garbage because there's so much air in it and it's just no good. But when you get that real dense fucking soft serve, that like you know you ate a fucking ice cream cone when it's this tall. It's a challenge to fucking put it down. You know, Dixie's Drive-In has those too. Their fucking soft serve is excellent. I'm trying to think what else. That's pretty much it, man. I mean, it was just a lot of adventure, a lot of experience. You know, didn't spend a shit ton of money. You know, it's money up front, and then you know you do have to pay for your meals and stuff like that. But you're on the go so much that you're just not. We didn't buy any souvenirs really. We bought a cup for like $22 that you can use in the park unlimited times. So that was a good idea. It has a little chip in it. You put it on any filling up machine, fill it up. But the water in fucking Florida is garbage. It is so fucking bad. You can taste the swamp in it. I mean, it's just, it's like, it tastes like.
Tastes like Tom Petty's ashtray.
Nice. It's like.
Tastes like Leonard Skinner,
but
like Leonard Skinner's. Tastes like Leonard Skinner's plane crash ashes.
Oh God! No, But we're of the opinion, because they had bottled water for sale everywhere, which is, of course, absurdly priced.
$11.
That they made the fucking water, while safe, taste not so good. So they could sell you more fucking bottled water.
Hey, man.
Pop cost them nothing. You know, it's like when you...
But it's made with that trash water.
I don't think it is, because you couldn't taste it in it. It just tasted like, you know McDonald's Coke?
The best Coke in the world.
Better than McDonald's Coke.
Are you serious?
I'm fucking...
Shut the fuck up.
Fucking
you get serious. Out of my house right now.
I'd fight over it. It really is that good. Like,
really?
I mean, because I had a...
Maybe that's the key.
I ate one thing basically the entire time, bacon cheeseburgers, because every fucking stand had them. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, fire me up one of those bacon cheeseburgers, which were good.
BCB.
And then their fries were McDonald's fries, you know, which you can't go wrong with those.
No.
But their fucking baked goods, not good, man. I was very disappointed. Like, I got a big giant piece of coffee cake, fucking stale and fucked up. How do you fuck up a two-bite brownie? You know the two-bite brownies you can get down at the fucking Grants? Horrible. Like, what is this shit, guys? Fucking Kroger's can produce a two-bite brownie that I would fucking fight my mother-in-law for, you know? And, you know, my future mother-in-law, whatever. I'm just saying. They're just that fucking good, you know? You know, it tasted like the bun on the hamburger. You know, it was that flour. I think they put something in the flour that makes it all taste the same, or it's all done in-house. You know, so there is one main Disney kitchen, I can tell, you know. Now, the burgers and stuff, of course, they cook right there and all that shit. But the other stuff, they cook at other places and bring it there. So, I don't know. Got a cupcake. I was like, is that had shit icing? I'm like, what the fuck is this icing?
Why would you put shit? On a cup. What are these people doing?
It was just like a cookies and cream fucking cupcake. It was not good. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so I got pizza. The pizza was not good. It was like burned.
Fuck up pizza.
I know, right? And I was fiending for that fucking pizza because I was really hungry then.
I'm assuming you couldn't just order P. John's.
No. You can. You could order Walmart to bring it to the... There's a place to order Walmart and bring you groceries if you didn't want to do that kind of stuff. They bring it on site for you. There were so many cool hotels. I mean, we were in Pop Century, but right next to us was the History of Animation fucking place. I would have liked to have been there because they had like the rooms were nice. They were clean, definitely clean, well maintained. Showers were nice, small units, you know what I mean? Like the 50s, her parents stayed in. And the baby stayed, and Christina stayed in the 50s part of Pop Century. We stayed in the 60s. Rooms were exactly the same. They made no attempt to change the decoration or anything. On the outside, they did. And they had cool things like a giant thing of Play-Doh and a giant, you know, fucking jukebox. And they played 50s and 60s music. I mean, it was cool. It's resort stuff. You know what I mean? So that was fun. You know, that's pretty much it for that. That part of the show, the description of the trip.
How many absurdly obese people did you see riding around in scooters?
Nice. That is one thing I'm glad you brought it up. Maddie was not feeling good, so we put her in a stroller. But she walked the first day. You know what I mean? And then it was after that we decided to do that.
This child is 27 years old, just so everyone.
I've never seen so many able-bodied kids older than her. She's 6. There were 10-year-old kids riding in strollers. And... most people were obese. Most people were. I found that here's the thing about Disney World, and it's the thing about America. All these different cultures of people. It wasn't always this way. At one point, it was just, you know, hunkies. But now, all these groups of people.
The good old days.
No, not at all. I'm just trying to describe that back then, it was a thing to go put the mouse ears on and have a good time and act like a goofball. Other people looked at that with contempt. Oh, those white people do that, you know, whatever. Those honkies do that shit. Now every group of people does that. It's kind of, it's beautiful in its way. But at the same time, it's like, man, America really takes people of culture and grinds it out of them. You know what I mean? And makes you put on the goofy Mickey ears and act like a dope and all that stuff. And that's okay. It's okay to do that. You know what I mean? And that was, I'm trying to say it's both a thing that could be made fun of, but it's a good thing at the same time. I like that. because you had people who were wildly different, you know, ethnicities and all that stuff, all having a good time. I never saw anybody having trouble with each other or anything. It's just the way it was, you know. So everybody was polite. Well, I should say the staff went one of two ways. Either they were really cool, like they talked to Maddie, and one girl's name was Madeline, and she sat there and talked to Maddie and was real nice with her and, you know, really nice to her as a kid. And then some of them were just bitchy. Like, they just were shitty to people and all kinds of stuff. And it's just like, you, if somebody, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know how they kept their jobs, you know, because it was really bad.
I think a lot of it is most of the people that work there are doing it for college credit, and they're not really getting paid.
I would assume that, and also, too, there was a thing where they weren't paying them very much.
Yeah.
Some, I'm sure some of them, like the upper echelon people, get paid an obscene sum of money. They're cops. They have their own security force. I'm sure they get paid a decent amount of money because they have to be able to handle this stuff without it escalating. You know what I mean? All these things. If these things happen, all these brawls and stuff you hear about at Disney World, nothing ever like that was ever close to happening. You know, people, I will say this though. I've never seen so many fucking people cutting in line in my life. So one of their family members would get in the line and then they would just cut through to get up with them. Nobody really said anything. They got some stink eye, especially from us. We were like, you motherfuckers, you know, and having the discussion at Cedar Point, you're gone. It doesn't matter. If you cut line, your ass is out of the park, and whoever got you in the line is out of the park. They don't fuck around. Hmm. Disney World is so much softer on people. You know, it was.
Lessons can be learned. You know.
Yeah, I mean, we'll cut in line next time.
Yeah,
I'll just go in and stand for a while, and they can go rest, and then they can cut in line with me. Fuck you! We saw this done all last year. You know, it was. I definitely had a lot of fun, so I'm glad I went.
I'm glad that you went.
Yeah.
Glad you got to fly on a plane where the stewardess is hot. I mean, the skywaitress. I mean, the what are those
things? The stews?
The server? The flight attendants.
Flight attendants? Yeah. Well, one of them was a guy.
Lame.
The other one was a girl. I guess she was pretty. I mean, but they were really cool with me because I sat up front at first. And they could tell I was nervous, and they're like, we're going to sit right across. They were literally sitting from me to you. They're like, we're sitting right here. This is our seat. Like, look at us. We're going to be calm the whole time. If we get nervous, you're allowed to get nervous. I was like, all right. So I'm sitting there looking at them, you know, on takeoff and stuff when things are shaking. And she's like, it's fine. It's fine. No worries. You know?
This is a really old plane.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Had a big scratch up its side. I don't know if they looked at it.
Oh, there goes one of the. It's fine. You only need one.
It was Allegiant Airlines, which is not a huge, giant plane. You know, it was like it wasn't a 747 or anything, but it was, you know, a passenger plane. But I'm saying, man, an hour and a half and you're in fucking Florida. I got jet lag on the way back and it's in the same time zone. It was just weird to me because we took off from Florida and it was 70 some degrees in the morning, almost 80. We land in fucking Clarksburg and it's fucking snowing. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Did you get back on Sunday? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Sunday.
I drove through a snowstorm to get home. Like, I drive through Summersville. I was like, this
human should not be able to do this.
This is some bullshit. You know?
We're not meant to be this way.
What else? I mean, we've also done things this week. Dune 2. We saw it. We haven't discussed it yet.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it really was. That music, that one Hans Zimmer song. Did you listen to it?
I listened to it during the movie.
Well, do you remember we probably can't play it on here, can we?
No.
It had a Blade Runner part to it where it had a lot of synth and it sounded like something out of Blade Runner. It really did. I thought that was an awesome touch.
Did Hans Zimmer do the score for Blade Runner?
For the new Blade Runner? Yes.
Okay.
I'm talking about the original. It was an original tune from the original 1981 Blade Runner. I mean, it wasn't the same tune, but it really sounded like it. Like, you could tell it drew a lot of inspiration from it without being plagiarism or anything. It was still awesome, you know. The movie has caused some outrage that I've seen.
Oh, why?
The white savior complex.
They don't understand.
Right. They obviously are unfamiliar.
What's Quinn the GM?
they're not familiar.
No, Quinn's ideas.
Quinn's ideas. Yeah. They're not familiar with the lore. There's the whole.
That's what the whole thing is that, beware of the white savior.
Well, beware of the charismatic leader.
Yeah.
You know, beware of anything that has religious overtones, or even undertones. Fuck. I thought. I mean, I have rarely see. I love the Dune movies, and I can appreciate them as art.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just absolutely perfect. There's nothing more he could have done to make those movies any better. The first one was great. The second one even better. There are no complaints. There are just things that, like, man, it's such a heavy thing. That's something I'm not going to watch all the time because it's really heavy, you know. I watched the first one a couple of times, you know. It's got some great chest-thumping scenes with Duncan Idaho fucking going off and killing a bunch of Sardaukar and all that shit. It was just... They're great fucking movies, man. I mean, we're in the middle, and it saved cinema. I will say that, and I believe that. Dune 2 saved cinema.
I think Barbenheimer probably did that.
I don't think it did. I think that's a blip. I think that it needed something.
I mean, $2 billion movies released on the same day.
I know, but it's not a cultural phenomenon. Like, well, okay, let me take that back.
Barbenheimer. Barbie was.
Okay, it was. Let me... As soon as that came out of my mouth, I'm like, that's not true.
Oppenheimer swept the Oscars.
But I'm talking about Dune 2 is like, I think it's like even bigger. Like it's.
It could be.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I mean, it's still early.
But Nolan got his first best picture, his first best director.
That's what I'm saying.
All of them.
The reason it changes, okay, Barbie was a crowd pleaser, makes a lot of money and all that stuff. So, yes. Oppenheimer, not really a crowd pleaser. An art movie.
And also very bleak.
Exactly. Still a great movie. Makes a lot of money. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Dune is a crowd pleaser, although people shouldn't be pleased by it, all the shit that's going on. But it also made a shit ton of money. And it's and also at the same time and going to be an Oscar-winning film. Yeah, Nolan didn't.
They might wait till the...
Nolan didn't win.
He got Best Director, I'm pretty sure.
Dune 2 is not eligible for the Oscars this year.
No, Nolan.
What did he win for?
Oppenheimer.
Fuck. I was thinking of Villeneuve.
Yeah, you're a silly goose.
I know. Silly goose. Yeah, Nolan finally won an Oscar. He deserved it for that
best,
movie.
Best actor or whatever.
Cillian Murphy.
Did you see that he, actor.
Did you see that he thanked everybody in Irish?
Good. Best supporting I thought that actor. Was, they might have got best supporting actress. I'm not sure.
I think she was at least nominated. I'm glad Robert Downey Jr. won. He deserves it. Of course, there's controversy with that. He didn't even acknowledge Kiwi Kwan. He was... It's a big moment, man. He didn't try to snub
Who's
him.
That?
The kid from Goonies who won an Oscar himself.
Mm-hmm. Why would Robert Downey Jr. have anything to say about him?
Because he was holding his Oscar for him and handed it to him, and he didn't acknowledge him enough. And then they said that Emma Stone didn't acknowledge Michelle Yeoh enough.
Okay, she won Best Actress.
Yes.
I tried to watch that movie, and...
Not good. Which one?
Poor Things.
Oh, okay.
It's just Emma Stone getting fucked all the time.
Is it?
Yeah, which I'm okay with, but it's like... It's like a Frankenstein story. They take, like, she gets killed in a car wreck and she's pregnant. So they take the baby's brain out of her head and put it in Emma Stone's head. So she's a baby in an adult body and just getting fucked all the time.
That doesn't sound good to me at all.
It's not.
It's extremely disturbing.
It's weird.
Yeah. It sounds like Mother, kind of. Like that level of disturbing, which I haven't watched.
It's kind of funny, but it's
what Mother is, or
no, Mother's very weird, very disturbing.
Have you watched it?
Yeah.
What's the deal with it? Is it like disturbing weird?
It reminds me of Rosemary's Baby.
So it's on that level.
Yeah.
So they're fucking with her and driving her crazy.
Seems like it. Yeah.
Okay. That would be hard to watch.
Poor Things. I don't. Maybe I need to finish watching it because there was like 45 minutes left, but it's like she's got a. Baby's brain in her head, and nobody fucks her until she wants to fuck, I guess. She calls it furious jumping, which is pretty funny.
But to me, that
Mark Ruffalo basically plays Toast of London, the guy that Aaron likes a lot. He basically plays that character in the whole thing. He's all like, hello, how are you doing? Shit like that. Mark right. Ruffalo sucks. Fuck him.
Why do you hate him so much?
He just sucks. I don't need to have a reason to think he sucks.
That premise really bothers me because that's pedophilia.
Yeah, maybe I misunderstood something, but that's what it seems like to me.
Okay.
They just let her rip. I don't know.
I think Emma Stone is a tremendous actress. I always thought she was. I think she did a great job in Superbad and everything. I mean, she's good in everything. So good for her. Glad she won.
The real star of the Oscars was
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. Doing I'm Just Ken. Come on.
He killed it.
The dude rules. The dude's hilarious.
He's the fall guy. You know that, right?
That's going to be great. Yeah. He's hilarious. He can sing pretty good.
Yeah.
He can dance.
Well, he's a Disney kid.
You know, he rules.
Yeah. He was on the Mickey Mouse Club. They teach all those kids, you know, in numerous ways from what's been said.
Hey.
In bad ways, too. The Oscars got shit on, of course. It's always a night, you know. I understand people on the right. Okay. I saw a thing with Megyn Kelly. It came up on my phone, and I just let it play. She's a righty. Fine. I don't care. But she starts talking shit about the lefties being hypocrites and all that shit. I'm like, yeah, they are. And the left has gone crazy in a lot of ways. But you're no better. You know, they snipe each other without realizing they're both monstrous hypocrites about everything. You know, they say, well, you know, they'll sit there and talk about Joe Biden has a rape case. I'm like, you're backing Donald Trump. You know,
I don't know that she is. She might be the. I have no idea. I've not heard her name in
two or three years. She is at least tacitly accepting him because she was defending Donald Trump for getting attacked. There's no defense that fits the guy. His position is completely assailable. You know, he's a lump of shit. Everybody fucking knows it. John Kelly came out and said, you know. Let's just take one point. The thing about being on the side of the troops. The right always claims that they're the virtue signalers being on the side of the troops. They might even be. I don't fucking know. But they allow people like Donald Trump to fucking talk shit about American troops. And he did. He said that they're chumps and suckers because they get killed and what's in it for them. He fucking said it. John Kelly corroborated. John Kelly has no reason to lie. The guy fought. He's a Marine. He fought his way up the ranks. You may not have liked him when he was in office, but he felt it was his duty to try to rein Trump in. That those soldiers do that, where they've gone up the ranks, and they'd be like, man, I got to keep this guy from fucking everything up, so I'm going to try to rein him in. And that's the reason him and Trump, he said that he is the most flawed human being I have ever encountered. And his son, he had a son who died. One of the reasons it pissed him off so bad, he's got a son who was killed in action who was a Marine, and said that was an honor for his son to die for his country. Or something such, you know what I mean? Like, I hated to lose my son, but he died a hero's death. Things like that. And he said, he didn't use these words, but this fucking piece of shit wouldn't go to a memorial for World War I troops because it was raining. He didn't want to fuck his goddamn fuck hair up. You know, things like that.
What does this have to do with the Oscars?
I'm saying, no, let me finish.
Can I finish?
The thing with Megyn Kelly attacking them at the Oscars and then not calling that shit out. I'm getting tired of the hypocrisy on both fucking sides of the issue. I'm getting sick of it. That's why in the middle is the only sane place to be. Sitting on the fence is the only sane place to be.
Well, you'll be happy to know that I've got a new song coming out. I don't know how shortly.
Okay.
In the next 6 years. That basically talks about this.
Okay. It's like Oliver Anthony. They both sides try to claim him. He looked at them both and said, fuck both of you. You're both crazy. You're both part of the same fucking sickness. And they are. They want to do the same thing just for different reasons and in different ways. The righties want to hijack the United States government and not have democracy anymore. They're perfectly fine with an emperor or a king. They really are. That's their mindset. As long as my shit's being put forth, that's okay. The left wants to shame you into everything, to not having a voice and things like that.
I don't really see any difference in them. It's just they have different ideas. Like, I don't think if the lefties could have made Barack Obama God Emperor and he turns himself into a sandworm and 10 million.
That's fair.
I don't think they would.
Okay, that's
fair. They'd have been like, sweet.
I'll give you that.
Sandworm Obama.
I'll give you that. But I'll say that. But their usually their techniques are like media. We're going to beat you with media. We're going to make you feel awful about being who you are and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. That's what they do.
It's worked very well.
Yeah, it has. And the right tries to say, they capitalize on that. And they say, well, these people don't like you, and so we're going to get them out of power. We're going to make sure they never get back in power. Not realizing that, I'm sorry to say this, but that's part of the fucking experiment. That's just the way it works. You know, democracy is a messy, messy system. It always has been. It's the best system, I think, that we've got. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, maybe we could benefit from a guy as a sandworm, a Ludo on the golden path, hammering people into fucking peace. And being like, if you cause any trouble with me, I'm going to wipe you out. That's essentially what he does, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, forces them into peace, but also forces them into stagnation and forces them into things. The worst part about it is, after being down there in Disney World, and I'm not talking shit about Disney World, looking at everything, people would be satisfied and happy with stagnation. Mm-hmm. They would be satisfied and happy with not having to think for themselves or create art or think about other things. I mean, art and chaos creates art, and we need war for chaos. I mean, it's one of the greatest sayings in The Third Man, which is a Orson Welles movie. I'll look it up real quick.
I have to pee really bad. Can we pause for
yes.
15 seconds?
That was a good pee.
The Third Man, if you ever get a chance to watch an Orson Welles movie, if you've ever seen Citizen Kane,
nope.
You should watch that. I think you would like it because you can appreciate cinema, a good movie. Third Man has this great quote. The guy's character's name is Harry Lime. He said, "Don't be so gloomy. After all, it's not that awful. Like the fellow says, in Italy for 30 years under the Borgias, they had warfare, terror, murder, and bloodshed, but they produced Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, and the Renaissance. In Switzerland, they had brotherly love. They had 500 years of democracy and peace, and what did that produce? The cuckoo clock."
Yep.
So that's one of the finest fucking quotes ever, and it would take somebody with the genius of Orson Welles to write a line like that. And that's what human beings are products of chaos, and that's what creates art. And if we have peace, for example, Hyperion, the hegemony was a place of fabulous wealth and all these great things. You can step into a Farcaster and go to all these planets, which, by the way, got ruined, like Maui Covenant and places like that, that had their own indigenous species. They got wiped out, all those things, because being assholes is essentially Disney World. My God, that is a really good fucking metaphor. The people did not advance. They did not become anything else. They stayed stupid fucking human beings who couldn't do anything, who depended on the hegemony to fight all their wars for them, who didn't question anything, who let the techno core take advantage of them and basically be spiders in their minds to create all this shit, and the fucking military to lie to them and be lied to in turn by the techno core, creating this awful thing, you know. And then the other human beings who had left Earth generations and hundreds and maybe thousands of years before, 1,000 years before, probably not that long, but became the ousters. The ousters were people who had evolved, had changed their RNA to live in comet cities, to live in, you know, areas of space that they turned into green spaces, you know, that they could float around in. They had basically evolved and become something different. They were still human, but they had changed. They had proceeded. They had become something more than themselves. You know, and that's a beautiful thing. Dune is also that, much more bleak, but they had nothing but chaos and war and all those things forever. And what happened to them? They had people that became living computers. They had people that, you know, they no longer needed an AI. They had destroyed the AI because
not a lot of art coming out of the planets of Dune. Not a lot of
that's
artists
not
on Getty Prime.
True. That's not true. It's just art as not as we would see it. Some of it is very disturbing. Like Getty Prime, we didn't even talk about the stuff in Dune, you know, the visuals and the different planets. Getty Prime was a miserable fuck place to live.
I saw somebody had a tweet that said the small detail in Dune 2 that I enjoyed the most is even the fireworks were wet and gross.
Grease, yeah. It's fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
it's like the Benny Tlilax. What you could consider what they did art. It was genetic art. They would manipulate things and create things.
Are those the people living wombs?
The people of Ix, yes. They create things like, in the book you find this out. Remember the Mentat that worked for the Harkonnens? He was the kid from played by the kid from West Virginia.
Yeah.
He was created by the Benny Tlilax. That is Peter DeVries. He is a psychopath that's a Mentat at the same time. That is nearly impossible. They said nearly impossible, but not for us. Because we can create this thing.
I mean, look, I can float, dude.
We can. Well, no. You're thinking of Baron Harkonnen.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the Mentat, the guy who served.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. Like, I can make a crazy guy that's also extremely smart.
Right. So that's what they did. They created, and they also created their own Kwisatz Haderach. And they said, we've created beings of pure evil, things that would make your skin crawl. We've created things of angelic good. We have created all these things, and you don't even know about it because we are doing it right under your nose and you can't do anything about it.
They probably kill them immediately if they're good.
Oh, they kill them all, pretty much. They're all experiments. Life means nothing to them. Yeah. And you're going to find that out in the next Dune movie when they bring when they bring back Duncan Idaho. And they will bring him back.
I know how they bring him back because they brought him back in Children of Dune.
Yeah. He's a Gola. And they take him. They give him. Do they give him metal eyes in the show?
In the show, he just looks like the exact same.
Okay.
And they couldn't get that far.
Those eyes that they describe are like pitted metal. Mm-hmm. And they just gaze at you and there's no life in them. You know what I mean? They're going to do it with like probably some CGI and some
CGI in that movie is.
Oh, it's because it's used so sparingly. You know what I mean?
Because they actually probably went to a desert and filmed this shit.
Absolutely they did. That's the difference between not all evolving and progress is good. You know what I mean? Like the Dune universe, I would argue, is very bleak and it is progress, but who the fuck would want to live in that? You know what I mean? Living in a shithole like Getty Prime where you do not have. The most disturbing scenes are when Vladimir Harkonnen murdered those two androgynous kids or young women or whatever, or they might have been boys. You don't know. They're androgynous. They might have been, you know, bred by the Benny Tlilax. Because that thing that was like a spider and all that thing, that's created by the Benny Tlilax. They did that. And their just lives are absolutely meaningless. He killed them because he had a fit of rage, and they have no repercussions. They have no lives. They have no rights. Any of those things. Yes, the universe is in a fabulous place. Space travel along massive distances. You know,
they can fold space.
Yes, it's not actually travel. You're just folding space to go from one place to another. It's math. It takes massive calculation because there are no computers that can do that. It's only people that can do that. That is an exercise in absolute evolution of man turning into something different. That is actually the basis of Dune, is that when it gets deeper into the series, they have now started to breed these things called, I can't remember what they're called. They're part like almost house cat, and they're like monsters. They have teeth and feline eyes and features, and they're like claws, and they'll fucking, yeah, it's crazy.
I'm gonna like just search monsters of Dune and see what comes up.
You know, the greater Madres go out into the fucking greater outside of the galaxy and they come back and they're pursued by an alien intelligence. That's another thing, too. It's not only about, you know, it's about human beings becoming an alien intelligence, breeding and spreading to the stars and no longer being human. They are in the process of not being human anymore. So that's what, you know, it's a disturbing process. But I would argue that Hyperion does the same thing, but in a much more warm and hopeful tone. The Ousters are good creatures. Like, they come back and they're fighting the hegemony because the hegemony is fighting them, being aggressors. You know what I mean? The Technicore have convinced them to do this because the Ousters are a threat, because the Ousters want to free people from the hegemony. They're coming back. They're in these torch ships and shit that are taking forever to get there. And like, we're going to come back and we're going to free you from that awful Technicore and that fucking hegemony, which you think you're free. You're not free. You are a slave to them. And we're going to break it and we're going to destroy it. That's what they're coming back for. So there's a war raging between the Technicore and the Ousters. The Ousters are depicted as some so different. Some are giants, like some are small. Some have wings that can float in fucking in low G grav. I mean, the beautiful ethereal things that they've manipulated their RNA to become not human. But I would argue that they sound so much more good and positive than anything in fucking Dune. Nothing in Dune is positive. Nothing in Dune is positive. Think of one positive thing you can think of in Dune. I can't think of it off the top of my head. See? That's a tough one, isn't it? Maybe space travel. Maybe the fact that maybe someday the human beings would move past all their awful shit that they do to each other. But it's not happening.
But they didn't. You know, in that series, they didn't.
Right.
They hate each other.
Well, are you talking about Hyperion?
No, not Hyperion.
Or Dune.
Dune.
Well, for sure. But I was saying in the future past that. Maybe when they move into the stars.
After the Golden Path.
Right. And maybe that was meant to push them. Maybe that was meant to push them out and make them not be human
anymore.
The
great scattering.
Yeah, and move to the stars and become different things and move away from it as from being human, because humans have reached almost a genetic dead end. That's what they've become. You need to create evolution. You need two things. You need adversity and you need limited populations. So if you move them to other places that are going to challenge them, where the populations can only breed to a certain degree, you're going to create new things. So I love those movies. I don't like the books, but not because they're not good. I mean, I say they're not good because they can't hold my attention because it's so bleak I can't read it. I have such a soft heart that I can't read shit that's just awful, you know? So, yeah, because I take on that. Like, I walk around with thinking about that. Even after watching the movie, the thing about Getty Prime stayed with me for a few days. Like,
it was rough.
It was seeing an awful place with awful people. The only thing that really relieved it is the Raban dying so ignominiously with fucking Gurney Halleck walking in and just slitting his fucking throat. You know what I mean? By the way, Duncan Idaho's from Getty Prime, too.
He escaped.
They were both saved by the Atreides. That's one of the reasons they were so fanatically loyal to him. Because they saved them from the slave pits of Getty Prime. I didn't know
Gurney Halleck was from Getty Prime, too.
They raped his sister to death. Because that's what the Harkonnens do. His sister was a child.
Jesus.
And they raped her to death for fun.
So he is sort of like, you killed her. You raped her.
Oh, he's like Oberyn Martell?
Yeah.
In a sense, yeah. And I guarantee that's part of the thing they based him on. They're even somewhat.
I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it whenever I watch those movies and,
absolutely.
And read the, and not read, but like watch
the videos,
the lore videos mm-hmm. and stuff. I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
And he ripped it off in like the most artful way you possibly could. Because it's all a little bit.
Greatest Salvador Dali quote ever. Good artists borrow, great artists steal.
Yeah, just like so, you know. Completely took things and like twisted them a little bit.
Yeah.
Twist them just a little mm-hmm. bit. Like I said, there is hope in Westeros. There's
well, it's things that can more go of a wet. Fantasy world. See, sci-fi has a way of either being really bleak or being really hopeful. Sometimes at the same time. It's crazy that you can have a utopia that is a dystopia at the same time. A utopian dystopia. I would consider, like Logan's Run, a utopian dystopia. Hmm. Everybody lives till you're 30. You know, you have, you know, this life of outrageous, you know, excess. If you want to, you can do whatever you want. You live in this place where there is no war. There is no things there, but your whole life is filled with hollow pursuits. What the fuck kind of life would that be? You know what I mean? You ever watched Logan's Run?
I have not, but I know a little bit about it.
Okay. In Logan's Run, they live in a dome city. It's probably after a nuclear war or something. It might not even been that. It might have been an AI run amok, because there's a part where a robot runs amok
I love running amok.
Running amok is great.
Running amok is Chuck a great amok. Phrase. It's, you know exactly what it means, even though you don't know what it means.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's one of my favorite books is Chuck Jones had a book called Chuck Amok, where he's describes his years in the Warner Brothers animation department. Great book, by the way. And you're, like I said, you live to your 30, then you're supposed to renew. You're not renewed. You're killed. You are ground up for more material, which is cloned to make another child so you don't overpopulate. But they're told that. And it's really for its time, especially, it came out, of course, before Star Wars, early 70s. I'd say 71 or 2. I can't remember. Maybe even later than that, because Star Wars was such a fucking quantum leap forward of special effects and everything. I mean, it doesn't get enough credit for how fucking amazing it actually was. Alien, too. Holy shit. Alien is only 2 years after Star Wars. And think about the fucking special effects and shit in that movie. But,
Logan's Run?
76.
Same year.
A year before Star Wars.
A year before.
That's crazy. Didn't have near the budget, of course, because it was a gamble.
I think I want to watch this movie. I wonder where it's playing at.
It's got William York. Excuse me. It wasn't on Amazon Prime for a while. But anyway, this, I can't remember the name of the police. Michael York plays one of the police type guys, and their job is to find runners. Well, runners are people that instead of reporting to Renew, quote unquote, they have to chase down and they end up killing them. So this girl comes to him and she gives him an onk, just like a, you know, an onk.
Onk.
And he goes back to report, and the music is really cool because it's really like bleak, like really
very synthesizer. Yeah.
Yes. But also really cool is it doesn't get, again, as much credit as it deserves. It would be a great thing to make now. But it makes
you know we're going to put in the movie?
What?
Gosling.
I'm a Gosling guy.
Watch The Good Guys.
I will. But anyway, whatever the fucking controlling thing that basically it's an AI controlling everything, wants him to go outside and find sanctuary. It's called this thing called Sanctuary. So him and this girl leave the city. They go through this tunnel with this robot. It's crazy shit that happens. Then they get outside and turns out it's just outside of Washington, D.C. They go to one of the coolest parts is they see the Lincoln Memorial. Okay, and says, what's wrong with his face? And Michael York says, I think that's old. I'm not, because they've never seen an old person. And then they run across this old man who lives outside with all these cats. And, you know, it's in its way, it's a beautiful movie. Like, I really think it deserves more than it gets. It's a cult movie. There's big Logan's Run fans, you know. I'm one of them, but not like that. I wanted to read the book, but never got around to it.
Huge fan.
But, you know, I mean, I'm a big fan, as in I think it's a good movie. It's just this part where the computer is talking to him, and it's talking in a voice like this, basically. Present hand. You know, it's like, it's very almost 2001. I guarantee they lifted some stuff from 2001. There's nothing more terrifying than AI telling you to do something in a completely calm voice. Because the reason that's scary is because it's counterintuitive. If something's telling you to do something awful, it should be under stress. If it's just telling you to do something and it's in a normal, calm voice, then it's going to mess with your synapses and your human emotions and be like, why aren't you upset that you're telling me to do this? Or why isn't this causing you stress when this is an awful thing you're telling me to do or an awful thing you're describing to me? You know what I mean? That's one of the scariest parts of 2001 is when Hal is talking to Dave and he's like, I can't allow you to do that, Dave. And just that complete monotone, you know, and never gets upset and then starts just still talking that voice and it's going to kill him and all kinds of stuff. It's, you know, it's scary shit. So, you know, I'm a big sci-fi person, but oddly, I think that more sci-fi disturbs me I still like it, but it's still disturbing. You know, Dune is very disturbing. I mean, it's not as disturbing yet as it's going to be. And they're not going, and they better, they, if they know what they're fucking doing, they should not tell that whole story. Because it's there. If they have to get into the Benny Tlilax, which you are forced to do, that is going to be some shit that people are not ready for.
I get a feeling they're going to be a whole Duneverse that's going to be on going to be on HBO Max.
If they create those axolotl tanks and they make us look at them, there's going to be outrage over that. It's going to be because there's going to be feminist groups that be like, is that what we're looked like in that future? Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what you're looked at.
Yes.
You're nothing more than a woman.
Indeed.
There are no female Benny Tilax. None. You know,
so. You know what you're not going to catch as a Benny Tilax?
What?
A trans person.
Yeah. It's going to be androgynous. They're face dancers. Like, they can change their face. Like, it'll ripple, and they'll, you know, because they have absolute control.
Well, I mean, as a axolotl. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's going to be.
There'll be no trans people.
Well, it'll probably be, no, it'll be a female body that is, like, still organic to produce a child. It will have no head. Mm. It'll have robotic hands.
Perfect, actually. Because they're always yapping, am I right, boys? You look like a fucking idiot. What are you doing here?
No, actually, the...
You two look like a cute couple. Couple of idiots.
Hey! No, there's actually a description of it in the book, and it talks about how it's basically just a female womb, and it's got robotic hands that take the babies out and hand them.
I've seen them. I looked them up one time. I did not enjoy it.
It's
fun. Can't wait to see it on TV.
I don't think I'd be able to handle it. I think it would really bother me. You know,
I get, like, I've heard there's going to be like a prequel about the Harkonnen, like a series on HBO Max about the Harkonnens.
It could be done.
That's insane. I love it. Just give me all that stuff. I don't want to read the books. This isn't.
Well, no, do the Butler and Jihad. Do all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do that. That's
the Machine Crusade. Do all that.
Yeah.
There's a whole book called The Machine Crusade, which is, I think the computers might have fought back and they, yeah.
Jesus.
They didn't go quiet. They did not go quietly. So, I mean, you got to think that's, but as much as Frank Herbert, as much as I dislike his stuff sometimes, and I think that he's not the best writer. I don't think he's the best writer. I think he has great ideas. I do think that his prescience in seeing the future is eerie. Like, because it was, that's written in, they're written in the fucking 50s, you know, 1957, I think is when Dune came out, or 19.
I think it's when he got the idea.
Yeah, and then it came out in like 61 or something like that. It took him 4 years to write it. And he kept churning them out. He didn't turn out the last one until the 80s, I think. The last one came out in the early 80s, which blows my fucking mind. That I was a contemporary with a Dune book, you know what I mean? Because it seems so ancient. Fantasy is more hopeful, and it's more, that's the reason you get so much more hope from, you could not see Dunk and Egg happening in a sci-fi universe. It's just not going to be a thing. You know what I mean? It's
kind of, there's a movie called The Creator.
Okay.
Where
I think I've heard about this.
Denzel Washington's son is like a soldier or whatever. And he's
is it good?
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
There's like these AI children.
Okay.
That they're half human, half
gotcha.
AI or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to kill them all. And he's tasked with killing them too. But he's fallen in love with one of these AI women and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's one surviving child. And he sort of does the old lone wolf and cub story.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of...
I'll check it out.
It's Duncan Eggy.
I've heard it's... the visuals are absolutely...
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
So I'll give it a whirl. But even that does not, there's going to be no scene.
Not a lot of joy, not a lot of laughs.
That's what I'm saying. There's not going to be any scene in that movie that's as wholesome or as satisfying as Dunk laying his head down on a tree and just after he took a bath and just hanging out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those things give you, it's like Hobbiton. Hobbiton, the Shire, is one of the warmest feelings you'll ever fucking have. Because it's a bunch of peaceful, kind of goofy people running around living in holes in the ground, smoking weed, essentially, drinking, having a great time, you know, and loving each other and not really being violent. You're not going to find that in sci-fi. You're just not. The closest thing I found actually is Hyperion, when it has when it describes the ousters and how kind they are and how there are warrior ousters, but they are in brotherhood with the other ousters who are just all for peace. You know what I mean? Dan Simmons is actually good at conjuring that up. He can actually create some warmth in a sci-fi thing. The relationship between these two robots in Ilium and Olympus, which is another great duology. He only writes duologies. He never writes trilogies. One of them's a big giant mech. He's like almost, he's described as looking like a crab. He's like extremely physically powerful, you know, almost like a machine. He's a machine, essentially, you know. And the other one is like a this tall, and he's made of, he's looks like he's made out of gold and stuff like that. And he's obviously a robot, of course. And they have this great friendship because they're both living. They're living machines. And they both quote Shakespeare at each other.
Hmm.
And it's really a warm, quite warm relationship, you know what I mean? Not sexual by any means, because they don't have sex. They're not, there's no, they do describe the fact that some of these robots do have partnerships and things like that, but they've gone beyond humans. It's another thing. This AI has shifted and become living on their own and produce themselves. And now they're going back to this planet to find where the humans have gone. Anyway, I just, you know, and also sci-fi can do one thing which can stir you. Like the thing with the Fremen when he thrust all their knives up and they're going to fight the Sardaukar and they're going to fuck them all up. That's very stirring.
And they indeed do fuck them all up.
Yeah. I thought the Sardaukar would have given a more of a count, good, a better account of themselves.
Because the Sardaukar are supposed to be the motherfuckers of all motherfuckers.
Well, they have softened. If the Sardaukar, if the Sardaukar had been like they'd been in the beginning, it would have been a one-on-one even fight. It would have been a toss-up who was going to win that fight. I'm not taking anything away from Fremen. Them motherfuckers can fight. They can really fight.
They're very sneaky.
I wouldn't say I'm
hiding in the
sand. Like a lot of stealth.
I like it.
Yeah, like bursting up out of the sand and fucking people up is awesome. I love when that shit happens. Like, here it comes. You know, they did have a ranking that I fucking didn't like. They ranked the 10 best fighters in Dune. And Fade Ruatha was number one. I'm like, no, that's not a thing.
Did we not just watch a man just cut his head off?
They tried to say that his existence was more violent than Paul's and stuff like that. It's like, you have obviously not read the book. Paul is a Mentat trained by Bene Gesserit and trained with Prana Bindu training, which makes him like able to bend and shit and do the things that, that Fade Ruatha could not do. Fade Ruatha is a fine fighter. He killed an excellent Atreides fighter. That was that guy in the movie. Well, the one lump of a dude, you know, the big giant dude, they drugged him, so it wasn't going to be much of a fight. And but the other dude, they didn't, you know, Vladimir Harkonnen made sure he didn't get his drugs. That was the thing they argued over, because it was actually a much closer fight than it should have been. You know, they had Duncan Idaho like farther down the list. I'm like, this guy's a fucking sword master. He could fight numerous Sardaukar at once, you know. Although that's only in the movie. In the book, the Sardaukar were like still nasty. They were really fucking nasty. And even Duncan Idaho didn't like crossing swords with them. He's like, they are extremely tough. And, you know, and they're, he said the average Sardaukar was a sword master of like a certain rank. And he was above that rank, but all of them were that rank. You know what I mean? Like, they were not people you wanted to fuck with. And then the video I watched about the Sardaukar, it describes how they were right after they had conquered the universe. And because you know that the Emperor is a Sardaukar.
Ooh.
They're descended from the Sardaukar.
I'm Sardaukar.
I mean, I was going to be damned if it was, if these Fremen were going to... I don't even know if that's a good impression.
It's not.
No, I didn't think so.
Mine wasn't either.
No. They were at one time like unbeatable. Like, I can't, I'll look up the video for you to watch here. It's the most interesting one. It goes into their whole history, why they became like that was. And that's another thing that might, I hope, happens in the next movie, because when he finally wins and conquers everything, he decrees that Seleucus Secundus is to be turned into a paradise planet. Why? It's not going to produce any more motherfuckers. You know, it's not going to produce any more. And he decrees that parts of Arrakis need to stay as they are. But that's the thing, too. He's already lost. The reason the Fremen were so tough is because they had no hope. They had to live in that place. If you even make a part of that planet bloom and stuff like that, they're no longer as tough as they were. Automatically, you know. The Sardaukar were that tough. The thing that made them not so tough anymore is that they were looking forward to rewards, because they would get rewards after a while. Like, if you fight your way up through the ranks of this awful planet, it's even the idea that you can do that makes you softer, because now you don't have, now you have hope. Hope makes you soft. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you were rewarded handsomely for becoming these awesome soldiers, and they pumped you up. When you were a first generation starter car that had conquered everything, you were those motherfuckers. No one was going to beat you. Not even the Fremen could have beat them, I don't think, because they were that tough. They lived on this hell planet. You know, Seleucus Secundus is a place described as a place of either torrential rains, broiling heat, awful fucking monsters that were transplanted from Earth but became things on Seleucus Secundus, like tigers and lions and fucking awful predators and shit. And they had to fight these things. There's no food. There's no shelter. There's none of that shit. So you have to kill to fucking live. And that's all there is. And that's all they had. And they were driven from every other planet until they were finally landed on the Seleucus Secundus. So, you know, it's the same story with the Fremen. The Fremen were driven from every planet and finally ended up on Arrakis. And so their histories are very similar. So, yeah, I mean, I love the starter car. Like, I like the fact that they made them like we had the title of that one episode, Future Vikings. It's essentially what they are, you know. They're, you know, reavers. They're fucking, they, you know, they're, but they're also have started to believe their own legend. That also makes you weaker.
Because reading their own press.
Exactly. That happens to the Fremen too. And the Fremen eventually start to read their own press. And some of them had already started to believe it. I like the fact that in the book they illustrate how awesome the Fremen are by they had gotten into a skirmish with the Sardaukar. And they had lost 2 men to 10 or something like that. For 10 Sardaukar, they lost 2 men. And they said, they looked at Paul and said, did you see how well they fought? You know, like good for you.
These are tough guys.
Exactly. But we killed 10 of you and you killed 2 of us. But hey, that's 2 of us. You know, anybody else, we would have wiped out. You Harkonnens can't fight worth a fuck. And the Harkonnens can't fight worth a fuck. You know, I don't know if you got that in the movie. They weren't the shit. They, no. I mean, had to wear the fucking masks and shit. They're fucking pussies.
Fucking cans of corn.
Tomato cans. Yeah. Fucking tomato cans left and right. I love that that fucking Gurney got to get his revenge. That was awesome. I would have liked to see it stretched out a little bit more. But
then you got the big fight at the end with Fade Ralph.
Right. So you can't put those back to back. Maybe you could intercut them together. Could have intercut them. Like,
could have.
But it's such a pivotal event.
It's a squash match though. Like before the main event, you always had the Road Warriors come out and beat the fuck out of the Mulkies.
Right. So essentially, Beast Ramon was the Mulkies.
Yeah,
he had the right complexion for it.
Yeah.
When he was walking up and that fire was behind him. That's when I was like, oh, shit, you know, because he was like, he's marching up those steps and Beast Ramon turned around and all that fucking chaos is going around behind him. You just see his shadow. I'm like, this is about to be good. And then he cuts it through. He's like, okay.
All right.
That's great. But is that it? Because I predicted that. I was like, we're going to see a one-on-one fight between Ramon and Gurney Halleck. That's going to happen. And it did, but not in the way I wanted it to.
Gurney Halleck's just a bit of a motherfucker.
Gurney Halleck, it was said that it was a hair's breadth who was more deadly, Gurney Halleck or Duncan Idaho. Like, Duncan wouldn't want to fight Gurney either. Gurney was a little bit older. Gurney wasn't as big of a man or whatever, but he was more slick than Duncan Idaho was. Like, he was. He could slit your throat and all that shit. You know what I mean? He was that guy. Because he's like... And also, the thing that they didn't tell you is that Dr. Yui was like a... helped train assassins and things like that. Like, it was...
Dr. Yui, which
he was the Chinese guy who...
Oh, the guy the first that one turned his back.
Yeah. That was... I mean, those movies, I can't wait to watch that movie again when it comes home, and I'll watch both of them one day. Mm-hmm. I also can't wait for Duncan Egg. I can't wait, you know.
House of the Dragons in a couple months.
House of the Dragon. It's a great time to be a fantasy sci-fi fan. It really is, because now it's mainstream.
Yeah, the nerds are winning.
They are. They were going to anyway.
I mean, been a long enough timeline, I think they were going to.
Sure.
The stuff's too good most of the time.
Absolutely.
As long as they don't get fucked up.
Well, we haven't scratched the surface yet. We've only seen... You do realize that we have seen only the heavy hitters come out right now. Dune was a heavy hitter sci-fi. Really was. Like, arguably the greatest sci-fi. I don't think it is, but arguably the greatest sci-fi series ever. We haven't seen Hyperion yet. We haven't seen... You know, there's a dozen others that they can make something out of. We haven't seen the biggest fantasies yet. We've seen Lord of the Rings, which... cannot be fucked with.
That's the father.
Yeah, can't be fucked with. We've seen Game of Thrones, which ended badly, but it's still awesome, and we're still getting things from it. We still haven't seen Ted Williams. And once we see Memory, Sorrow, and Thorn, that's why I was talking with an Avatar, they can do that. They can make the Sithy, and they can make them convincingly. Because the CGI is there now, like, and it's not even that expensive. So you could have actors standing in for them, motion capture and stuff like that. They're not even bigger than human beings. They're like of a height, maybe even slightly shorter. Some of them slightly taller. Some of them a lot taller, but anyway.
So they're like people in that way.
Yeah. I mean, they do range in height, but you know, there's no real brawny Sithy that I can tell, you know, so that, you know, that's the thing. They're all pretty willowy. But you can do that. And the story is compelling enough and completed that the original Memory, Sorrow, and Thorn books are done. He finished them years ago. They were finished in the 90s. So you can go ahead and how nobody has latched onto it yet is fucking blowing my mind. It was
just such a huge undertaking that, nobody really wants to.
I don't think so. Because if you can look at Game of Thrones and say that's not a huge undertaking to create that, and you can look at Memory, Sorrow, and Thorn, which is a smaller story. It really is a smaller story in a lot of ways. Some of its scope is greater, like definitely creating the Sithy and things like that is greater, but it can be done. His next book is actually coming out this year. It's coming out in November, so I'm fucking pumped about that.
What series is that in?
It is the second part of Memory, Sorrow, and Thorn.
Oh.
He wrote... Do you remember Simon? From the book.
Hello, my name is Simon, and I like to do drawings.
But you remember Simon from the book?
The kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, he becomes king.
No.
Yeah. And it's
I assumed he was somebody's son or something like that, right?
He was the original. Actually, it's decided by committee in a way. He's not actually the actual heir to the throne, but he's the closest they've got, so they install him. Him and Miriamele get married, and then they have a son, and then their grandson. They get in the second series. They're old, and the Sithy and the Norns. The Norns are like going to go to war again. Like they've been breeding half human Norn and human children who age much quicker, and they're getting ready to come storming out of. Hadika, what I can't remember pronounce it, but out of the north, and they're and the Sithy are like, some of them are like, don't want to fight with humans again. You know, it's like this whole thing, and they can't find half of them, and they don't know where they are, and all that stuff. And then in Elikai, the Storm King's brother, they actually find him and his spirit, and they bring him back. And there's all kinds of crazy shit going on. It would be a fucking fantastic thing, but you talk about some things that are bleak. The interior of the Norns' home would make some parts of it would make Getty Prime look cheerful. I mean, it's really bad. Like they're bad to humans, it's true. But they actually have these other creatures who are from the garden, that planet they come from. I know they're aliens, I don't give a fuck what anybody says, they can change their shape over generations to become something. They treat them like fucking dogs. I mean, like awful. So, you know, it's going to be, I can't wait for that. Cause that's an inevitability. So
you want to do favorite things?
We've
kind of just been doing that.
Yeah, we have.
Whatever.
Favorite things. What do you got?
Well, the Disney World trip, of course. Dune 2. Boxing. I actually went today, and the time off did me a lot of good. I hate saying shit about myself. I really do, but left hook, that's my best to the body and to the head. You know what I mean? It's really fucking brutal. Like, it's, you know, if I hit somebody with that, it would really fuck them up.
You're a real Mike Tyson.
No. Nobody's Mike.
You're probably the greatest fighter of all
time. Fuck you. I hate doing that shit.
You've been training?
Fuck it. No, I'm just saying that I have a limited repertoire of things, but the things I do know are effective. Mm-hmm. Like, and that is my best combo, four to the body, four to the head. Also, 3-3-3-6, you know, fucking 3-6
mafia.
Hook, uppercut, you know, like when you're inside. Like, I'm a great inside fighter because I'm shorter. Mm-hmm. And my arms are...
A lot of people don't know this. Chuck is 4'11".
I am. They call me the Hobbit heavy hitter.
Mm-hmm. The Hobbit with heavy hands. Chucky tater sacks.
No, I mean, I just... You know when you do something well. Mm-hmm. And I do that well. My jab, though, still is where my right shoulder's messed up. It's just not as snappy as it should be. I can't pull it back as quick as I need to get another one off.
What you should do is just hold your arm out and just run at them.
That's what I'll do.
Yeah.
So I really...
Unorthodox.
I really enjoy doing that. I think with some things, I'm as good at it as I'm going to get. You know what I mean? Like, I still think I have a lot more power I can untap because I can learn to move better. Mm-hmm. But I'm never going to be like a Floyd Mayweather or anything like that, dodgy and stuff like that. That takes years.
You're not going to be the greatest fighter of all time.
No.
You're telling me that right now.
I'm trying to say that he can do the Philly shell. We can turn a shoulder and he's quick enough to see a punch coming, all that stuff. I can't do that. I'll never will be. That's just a fact. But I can be good enough that I think I can take on any regular person. You know what I mean? Within reason, of course. Mm-hmm. So that's fun. Another thing, speaking in boxing, Jake Paul is going to fight Mike Tyson. I don't know how that's going to go down. I think that Jake Paul could win, but I think if Mike Tyson goes crazy,
has his hands to hide behind his back, he could win. But
well, dude, there is a 31-year age difference.
I've seen this man hit the heavy bag. I've seen this man spar. I've seen
him hit the heavy bag.
57 years
fucking
old.
Fucking terrifying, dude. Wait a second. Are those clips current?
They're within the last year.
Okay, fair enough. Because they were releasing clips that were a few years old. And when a man gets that much older, that can make a difference. You know what I mean? Especially if he's not been training like
he did. 4 years ago, he was fat.
Right.
Then he signed this exhibition fight with
Roy Jones.
With Roy Jones.
He said he didn't want to do that one.
And then he did it, and he got jacked again, and it turned something on.
Right. If Mike Tyson,
if he decides
to, his style that I've tried to study and emulate somewhat is peekaboo. Jake Paul has not encountered it peekaboo yet. I don't care if he's got a good jab. He does have a good crisp cross too. His fucking right cross is good. You know, he's an excellent puncher. But the thing about the peekaboo is he's never met somebody that mobile where it's a tick-tock. You're tick-tocking back and forth and you're coming at him and every time you crouch, you're
loading.
You're loading up. And if he catches you with that fucking uppercut, you're fucking dead. The power is the last thing to go.
Yeah, he's still...
He can still fucking hit.
In tremendous shape.
Exactly. So I do think that Jake Paul has a chance, and more of a chance than people think he does.
If Mike Tyson has a gentleman's agreement, he's not going to knock Mike Tyson out. Just swear to God. If he takes this from me.
Yeah. If Mike Tyson goes in there and Jake Paul tries to get... See, Mike Tyson is smart. There's a lot smarter people give him credit for. He actually is an intelligent person.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also got that fucking rage thing in him. If Jake Paul does something to piss Mike Tyson off in that fight.
All right, this is 15 hours ago.
Okay.
I'm getting ready for you.
Holy fuck. See what I'm talking about with that style?
What?
That's fucking terrifying. See, that's when. Okay. I love the way he turns angles. He's the best at turning angles.
He's in his first day of training camp. Six pack.
Jesus Christ. Shut the fuck up, dude. Right.
He looks like he's 29 years old.
I think it'd be a long day for Jake Paul. I think it may be a long hospital stay for him as well.
He better watch what kind of shit he talks to Mike Tyson.
Exactly. Because Mike Tyson might not know that he's trying to sell tickets. He'll know, but he'll be like, you cross the line, now I'm going to fuck you up.
Well,
you know?
I think he's smart because he doesn't have to talk shit because the money's made because it's going to stream live on Netflix.
Right.
It's free. We can all just watch
it. Oh, shit, dude. When is it?
I think it's in May. I'll be watching that.
Man. I like that. One thing I do is I come down here and I load for that fucking left hook. Best feeling in the fucking world when you crack that fucking punch ball. Whoa! And you just fuck. I mean,
you don't even feel it on your hand. Just like swinging a bat and right. Get good contact with it.
Wham! And you just fucking spin it. You spin the punch bob. That's the greatest feeling ever. So, Yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to box, but there was no anybody really to teach me. So I learned some things on my own. I could always throw a decent punch. I mean, like I said, I've never lost a fight, but I've not been in a ton of fights, but I've won the ones I've been in, you know. Now it's like you're walking around and it's not anything like arrogance, but it's just a confidence. Like when we were in the park, normally that would have made me really nervous, like before any of this,
mm-hmm.
because you don't know what you're going to run into, all kinds of stuff. Now it's just completely at ease. Like anything happens, you know, if it goes to that, I at least have a puncher's chance to knock somebody out. You know what I mean? So I might run into somebody who really knows how to fight though. Like,
yeah,
if I square up and they're like, and he's
look at their ears.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if he goes for my legs, I'm going to have to get out from underneath and try to throw a downward fucking hook or something. But, that's something I wish I would have picked up early too, is wrestling. But I've always been a decent wrestler too. I don't know, man. I just, with Tyson, Jake Paul, I don't hate Jake Paul anymore. Ever since I saw this montage.
Game recognizes game? Is this?
No.
You guys are the same. You're more alike than you are different.
No, not at all. He's a professional boxer now, and he's not a bad fighter, man. He's a legit fighter. He fought Tommy Fury to decision. You know what I mean? Tommy Fury's not a bad fighter. He's not a good fighter, but he's not a bad fighter either. He doesn't take it as seriously as Tyson does. Tyson Fury. But I saw a video of Jake Paul when he first started, like 6 years ago, and he really works hard at it, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect it. You know, I don't like him. I don't like his shtick. I don't like his fucking mouth. It gets my nerves, but it's meant to. It's meant to get on my nerves.
He's playing a real life heel.
Right. And he's good at it. But I still can tell I wouldn't like him in real life.
Like, probably not.
He's,
I'd probably like Logan. He seems like a nice
guy. He seems like an okay guy. He really does. He's kind of a goofball, you know. Both of them great athletes. Logan was an all-state football player.
Logan is too good at pro wrestling. Like, he shouldn't be that good.
Right.
Like,
you know who else was good at pro wrestling?
The Macho Man Randy Savage.
No, fucking Insane Clown Posse.
They're pretty good.
They could really wrestle. Like, Shaggy Two-Dope could really fucking get some air. He can do some crazy shit, dude. Shaggy Two-Dope.
Didn't think we'd go down that road.
Magnets. How do they work? I've never gotten over hearing that dumbass fucking song. Everything is magical. Is that what it is?
Something like that, yeah.
It's so fucking dumb. What do you think? I mean, do you think Tyson in a walk?
Depends on if he has like a gentleman's agreement.
Well, you think he might fight him to a decision?
He might,
allow carry him. Yeah, he might carry him. I think Floyd Mayweather carried Logan.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way he didn't.
If he could have boxed him up.
Floyd Mayweather, after watching video and like learning something about the sport and all that stuff, seeing him and another one, this guy named Joe Calzaghe, who's a Welshman, who could just move as you're throwing punches. He knew what you were going to throw, and he would just step back. And they were coming right here, and he just knew to get – that's crazy. You know, it's otherworldly. And there are very few fighters like that. Floyd Mayweather, Joe Calzaghe. Then you got your fucking brawlers, man. Fucking Tommy Hearns and Marvin Hagler fighting. Have you ever watched those fights?
Yeah.
Dude.
When I was a kid, especially.
That is just sitting there throwing fucking bombs at each other and eating them. Fucking eating them, you know? And a guy I try to emulate is Jack Dempsey. You know, he didn't start till later in life. I think he was in his 20s when he started fighting, or, you know, early 20s.
You could do that then before they let black people do it.
I don't know, man.
Babe Ruth was 45 when he started playing baseball. Yeah. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. No, one of the things that I do, one of the things that Dempsey does is the trigger step.
Yeah.
You know, bang, bang. You know, that's I really like doing that one. So he was a brutal fighter. Mike Tyson goes on and on about Jack Dempsey. Because he would just fucking – he beat the shit out of Jack Johnson.
Probably enjoyed every second of it, too.
Probably
racist. Did.
Probably does. Okay, anyway. Sorry. Favorite things. I mean, it's been so much. It's been a big couple of weeks, you know.
We're doing it.
We're doing it.
My favorite things, we've been getting things done recording.
Yes.
It's been good. We're figuring it out. It's a lot easier than I thought it was. I mean, it's hard, but like, mm-hmm. I've been making it hard. Like, thinking about things a little too much. Just
being a perfectionist.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's nothing wrong with that necessarily.
Perfect the enemy of good. That's what I've been doing. This needs to be perfect. What am I doing? Like,
all right, fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Learning how to actually do things, like the software.
Mm-hmm.
It's once you get used to it, it's actually pretty easy.
Right.
All of it. We use Studio One, in case anybody's wondering. It's very user friendly, drag and drop, all this type of stuff.
Nice.
You can kind of do anything you want.
You're not using AutoTune, are you?
No.
No, I didn't.
We tried it once just to mess around.
Yeah.
Because you get it like a free trial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's cool what you can do with it.
Right.
Like, if, let's say I was doing like a lead vocal and I sang like 100 takes and I just can't sing anymore and it needs harmonies.
Mm-hmm.
We can just copy and paste that lead vocal and pitch up the harmonies for it. I don't like doing that.
But
everybody does that.
Sure. I mean, I get it. And I, but I don't like it either. To me, it's cheating, you know. Is it cheating?
Not really. You're just using the tools that are given to you.
I suppose.
But like,
I mean, you don't call hip hop cheating when they sample and shit like that. But in the back of your mind, it still kind of is.
It's not something I'm going to do.
Right.
There was one song where I didn't mind doing weird things, but it was before we really knew what we were doing. And I can make things sound good now.
Mm-hmm.
And also wasn't singing very well at the time because I hadn't sang very much.
Mm-hmm.
I've been singing a lot more lately.
Yeah.
And I'm sounding pretty good.
There you go.
I'm, you know.
Best singer ever.
Top five, I'd say. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't Bon Iver, he uses a lot of autotune and stuff.
Yeah, and he also uses a lot of vocal layering, which I'm getting into. Like, just record the same take. Not the same take, but like do multiple takes of the same thing over and over and over and over, like 20 times.
Yeah.
Didn't make it sound like a huge chorus of people, but it's all in the same voice, so it's the same timbre. So it does this weird phasing thing that kind of sounds cool.
That does. I can see. Yeah. That would be cool.
I've been doing that a little bit. There's the end of one song. It's sort of a depressing song talking about like the state of the world or whatever, mm-hmm. like my opinion on things, blah, blah. It's a bunch of trash. But at the end of it, it has this part where it's very major key. And I recorded 9 takes of like bop-a-da's, bop-a-da, bop, like yeah, shit like that at yeah. the end. And J-Mo recorded too. So there's 11 takes. It sounds like a gang of people just singing this happy little melody after this extremely bleak song.
Nice. Very cool.
Last week there was a disc golf tournament in Hurricane at a new course, Bridge Park. And I had one of my best rounds, or my best round actually. I was 3 under in the first round.
Damn. That's excellent.
And 1 over in the second round. First round, it was raining and shitty, but the wind wasn't blowing that bad, so the frisbee still flew just as well as it normally would. As long as you had towels. Towels were important. Second round, it was extremely windy.
Yeah.
It sucked. And I went 1 over in the second round. Ended up taking 6th place out of 33 people in my division.
That's fucking awesome. Excellent.
Got an $88 payout.
Nice.
Except for it's for $88 that you have to spend at the store for merch.
Well,
I'm thinking about, or discs. I got 5 discs.
Right.
Thinking about selling my payouts if I get them. For like half the price or maybe 3/4 of the price. So
I got you.
You know, like $88 I have to spend at this store here. Give me $57 and you can get $88 worth of stuff.
Nice.
You know, mm-hmm. for cash. I'll get the cash and you get, you know. Thinking about doing that. I don't know if it's ethical. Don't care.
I don't think ethics enters into something like that. Yeah,
really.
Yeah. It's so, you know, nickel and dime in a sense.
We finished a song last night. And we're going to play it at the end of this podcast. We're going to debut it.
Nice.
And if any musicians or mixers out there hear it and think there's something that could be changed, let me know. I'm not sure if it's done, but I think it's done. I think it's over. That's why more people are going. I'm letting other people besides me and J-Mo hear it.
Nice.
And that's it.
Okay.
It's a cover of a Beatles song.
Oh, awesome.
You've heard it, but it sounds better now.
Okay.
We fixed it.
You fixed it from the Beatles?
No, no. I'm kidding. No, you heard our version of it before.
Yeah,
we've sweetened it and
okay.
made things a little better.
Oh,
Didn't actually record anything. I went there last night. Didn't actually record a thing. Just mixing.
I'm into it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we're going to debut it.
So it's fired up.
Podcast over.
Well, we've done our favorite things.
Yeah,
it's been 2 hours. Let's get to the main course.
All right. This is a cover of a Beatles song. It is obscure. I was like, I'm not doing A Day in the Life or Strawberry Fields Forever or something like that because that is too much to live up to.
Right.
This is like a middle track on Revolver. It's called For No One. I love this song. It was my number one played song on Spotify 2 years ago.
Nice.
And we decided to make our own version as if I wrote it. And then me and J-Mo made our own arrangement. And I think it's dope. Hopefully, you will too. And let me find it. It is on my phone. Where the fuck is it? I think it's in unknown for some reason. We'll find it. Don't worry.
Hate when that happens. Something's not what you think it is.
We named it, and it. I think I found it, and it just it won't put it in a category with me. In mm-hmm. like it always puts it in unknown, and then hides it somewhere in my unknown files. Anyway, it's called For No One. Thanks for listening. Go forth and fuck yourselves.
Your day breaks, your mind aches, you find that all her words of kindness linger on when she no longer needs you. She wakes up, she makes up, she takes her time and doesn't feel she has to hurry. She no longer needs you, and in her eyes you see nothing. dead, you think she needs you. Stay home, she goes out. She says that long ago she knew someone, but now he's gone. She doesn't need him. Your day breaks, your mind aches. There will be times when all the things she said will